Good evening, everyone, and how are you? Welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. We are picking up last week, and before we do, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 10. We left off there on 9/8/24, but we'll get back to that in a minute. Welcome to the Trim Radio Network. You can listen in. I'll tell you what, we're all over the world. We've got some great shows. If you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. The opinions of my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. Any information that we share is for informational purposes only. Also, we are BMI Music licensed, 6105-1658. So any music that we play on here in the United States, other countries may have an exception to it, but here we're covered. So anyway, let's get to it. We're talking, of course, now we're here right after Noah is passed away. So we're going to get into the world now is supposed to be washed up of all the evil and everything else. But we're going to look back. We can go to 3:7. And if you remember this, and it makes a difference. And here's why. We know chapter 3:7, the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now that was Adam and the woman who will know she is going to be called Eve. And then we're going to get here and we're going to go to Genesis 9 and we're going to go 25. And actually, we're going to go back. We're going to go back to 20, Ham's sin. And Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and they drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and he told his two brethren without. And Shem and Jephthah took the garment and placed it upon both their shoulders, and they went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their eyes were backwards, or their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew that what his younger son had done unto them. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Jephthah, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And the reason that we're going back and we're showing this is, and going back and talking about this is, Adam and Eve didn't know they were naked until, of course, they were beguiled by the serpent. And all the different mysterious things that go on in Genesis, you know, how did the serpent talk? And why is the serpent now condemned to crawl on his belly? What was he before then? Because we've always known and we've asked these questions. But the nakedness, knowing the nakedness, knowing this knowledge from the tree of good and evil, they did not know that. So after this flood, lo and behold, Ham realizes this. This really creates a problem. And Noah understands this. This creates a problem because the whole evil was supposed to be done with after the flood. God did what he did and locked them in, shut them in, so nothing else could get in. Exactly what our Lord, our Father wanted. And yet here is Noah now, drunkenness, laying there naked, and Ham realizes, hey, he's naked. And tells his brothers. Well, after that, we know Noah lived, you know, after the flood, 350 years. And he died at 950 years. Then he died. So here we are on chapter 10 in Genesis. And this is now a problem. And we could see that this is a problem. Because lo and behold, the knowledge of good and evil from that tree, the tree of good and evil, is still in the world. This creates a huge dilemma. And it's going to continue to create a huge dilemma. But we're going to take a look at it. Let's go through. And now, you know, here are the generations of Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Jephthah. And unto them were sons born after the floods, the sons of Jephthah, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Akhenaz, and Riptah, and Togamah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarnish, and Kittim, and Rodham. By these were the were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families in their nations. So you're seeing these nations. Here we go. We're repopulating the earth. A lot of these things are going on. And now we have the family of Ham. And again, we're on page 16, Genesis 10, verse 6 now. And as we're going through this, we're going to see the expansion now of humanity. And we're going to start to see what is going on here and why are the different things happening. And everything is happening behind the scenes, but there's a lot of action going on. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Saba, and Havilah, and Sabtan, and Rama, and some of the names are really hard, guys, so I do the best that I can, but I know that I am probably not pronouncing them in their proper enunciation and everything. So, and Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. And out of that land went forth Asherah, and builded Nivea, and the city of Rehoboth, and Kalal, and Rezin between Nivea and Kalal. The same is a great city. And again, I apologize for the names because they're very hard for me to pronounce, and I have dyslexia on top of it, so it makes it even worse. But you could start to see this. Now, there's questions that I have is, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. So he is this great hunter, and he's not before God, but is before the Lord, in front of, you know, God acknowledged he's a mighty hunter. And after the beginning of the kingdom was Babel and Enoch, and we covered all that, and Resen between the Nivith and the Kalah is the same city. And Mizraim begat Ludim and Ananim, and Lahabim, and Nephtim, and Pathosim, and Casalahim, whom out of Philistin, and Catharim. And Canaan begat Sidon, the firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvidite, and the Zimmerite, and the Hamathite. And afterward were the families of Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, and unto Gerar, as thou goest unto Sidon, and Gomorrah, and Admar, and Zeboim, and even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in the countries, in their nations. The family of Shem, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, and brother of Jephthah, the elder, even to him were children born, the children of Shem, Elam, and to Ashur, and to Arphaxad, and to Lud, and to Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Marsh. And Aphrax begat Salah, and Salah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Alamdad, and Sheplah, and Harzaramath, and Jara, and Hadaram, and Uzal, and Dikla, and Obal, and Aberel, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobal. These were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha, and thou goest unto Sifar, a mount in the east. And these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. And these are the families of the sons of Noah, after his generations, in their nations. And these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So we have all three children now have multiplied, and each one has their nations that are in there. So now we're going to get into chapter 11, and we're going to start to see. And remember, Ham has been cursed, okay, because he saw his father's nakedness and showed that to his brothers. So we kind of have an idea of what's going to be going on. There's a lot in the background, very important. And again, the dates, that you know, the times of genealogy and going down the line is to show us timelines. And we're getting to learn that as we go. But there's a lot going on. I found it very interesting that we focused in on Nimrod, the mighty hunter. Because the other ones are just, he begat. But Nimrod was a focus, a center of focus here in chapter 10. And we're going to get back to that. The construction of the tower. And the whole earth was one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. So now we have this stone, we have brick that we're, you know, we're using mortar and everything like that. We're pretty advanced here. And they're all speaking one language. And this is very interesting that this has taken note that there's going to be one language, because that's not what goes on in the world today. And there's going to be a reason for that, that we're going to get involved in. So here we are now. We are chapter 11, page 16, verse 4. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto the heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They want to build a tower to heaven. They acknowledge, you notice here that they are acknowledging heaven. They know there's a God, but we know what this tower is. This is going to be the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel, very similar to the Ziggurats, built by the Babylonians, is a place of worship of their chief god, Marduk. So here we go. And the Lord came down to see the city and tower which the children of men builded. Page here. So the Lord is still very invested and wants to see everything going on. After all, we're created in his image, and this is what he wants. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they will begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Here is that time. God is not going to hold us back. He could at any time he wants. But this is a good example of free will. This is a great example of it. So he says he's not going to, you know, restrain us, which they have imagined to do. Let us go down there. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Here we go. He's not going to restrain us, but what has he done now? The communication lines are being cut off. And it is at this point that they are being cut off so that, you know, hopefully it will stop. It will stop all the evil going to and fro. There's no communication, no understanding. Let's hope that it does this. So the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon the face of all the earth, and they shall and they left off to build the city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat, oh boy, here we go with the names again, guys. Arphaxad, 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Salah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Salah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Salah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Salah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Eber lived 40 and 30 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. And Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. So now we're starting to see what's happening with the timeline. You remember how God went back, and we can see in early Genesis, he said, I'm going to limit the amount of time man has to 120 years. And now you're starting to see it. The timelines are coming down now. So we went from Methuselah, who was 969 years old and the oldest in the Bible, Noah, of course, 950 years. And now we're getting down to, okay, we're in the lower hundreds now. So, and here we go. And Reuel lived past after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 920 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. And the daughter of Haran and the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his wife-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now here we go, the initiation of the covenant, chapter 12. And again, I apologize for the names. I really do struggle with that, but you're getting the gist. We're still seeing the timeline. We're starting to see, here comes the good part of Genesis that I really start. It just absolutely is wonderful. So now we are on chapter 12, initiation of the covenant. We are in the King James Bible. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Again, God's still very invested here. And you could see this with Abram. And we're seeing this very, very close. He has changed the languages and everything else. Everyone had their own nations and everything like that. So not everybody understands each other now. Everything is a little bit more complicated, but God is not going to restrain man. And he is going to let free will roll. And that's what's going to happen here. And I will bless them and bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And so Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto a place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. So we know the Canaanites were in that land. That's where they lived. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thee thy seed I will give this land. And there builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared to him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain in the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham's close. He's got, here's that bond again. And we're seeing this as this goes through over and over and over again. And what else are we seeing? We're seeing a lot of sibling rivalry all through the Bible. We saw that with Abel and Cain. We saw that with Lamech. We saw that with, now we're seeing it here with the three sons of Noah, because cursed is Ham and Canaan. And we know this. So we're going to see a lot more of this. And then we're going to see kind of like a making up time and, you know, coming back together time. But let's see what happens here. And he removed from thence unto the mountain of the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, and they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Now, he's afraid. So you can see this, and Sarai is beautiful. And of course, we know there's evil now. Now, you know that this has happened. See, everything wasn't wiped out all because of what we saw with Ham. So if they're going to kill his wife and assume that take her over or, you know, try to marry her, this is a problem. And of course, Abraham's journeying on this, so he has no real way at this point in time. He calls upon the Lord. We know that. He builds the altars and everything. So let's see what happens here. Say, I pray unto thee, art thou my sister, that it may be well with me for my sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So he's asking his wife, listen, just say you're my sister. Which, are we playing with the truth a little bit? Well, yeah, we are. We are all sisters and brothers in this world. And that's what we are. Abram knows this. After all, he calls upon the Lord. He's aware of this brotherhood, this sisterhood. Is he being deceptive here? Well, yeah, he is. It's my wife. It's my sister and my wife. But so now let's see what happens. And it came to pass that when Abraham was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair, beautiful. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord, here we go. He's giving all this. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. God knew they were looking upon her as lust, as, you know, okay, you know, I want her. And Pharaoh's the top dog here. But we had princes, we had everyone looking that they brought her forward to Pharaoh. That's how beautiful she was. So, and Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why did this not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? And there it is. You could see that's exactly what they would have done. Would they have killed Abram at that point in time? Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. Or at least he thought so enough that he was scared. So, of course, he's begging his wife, listen, say you're my sister. Technically, you are my sister. I am your brother. I, as we all are, sister and brother. But spare my life, my soul here. Help me out here. And God steps in and said, plague, here you go. So here we are. We're back now, and we are on Genesis chapter 12 and verse 19. Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now, therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had had. So Pharaoh wants no part of this. He understands that this is not good. Ever since you stepped in here with her, it's been bad news for me. Okay, I am plagued, and I know God has shown me that you are the wife. That's your wife. Here, go from me. Take this stuff. Just go. And that's what he does. So Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver and gold. And I'm sure he was. And he went through and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hia, and unto the place of the altar in which he had made there at the first, and where Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. So here we go. Do you see how this now? The herdsmen, they've got all these cattle and everything else. And now they're fighting among themselves, blaming the others, and kind of like the sibling rivalry again, trying to enact it. Abram is very wise. He calls upon the Lord. And Lot has been walking with him. They love each other. There's no question. So are we going to have a Cain and Abel type deal here? No. But how it's handled is credit to Abram. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. We are brothers. We're not going to fight. Let's not do this. We're not going to do this. This gets us nowhere. There's no value in it. So now we're moving on. We're in verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, and I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and that it was well watered everywhere. And the Lord destroyed and watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one another. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Sodom and Gomorrah, we know this story, but we're going to talk about it anyway. They have peacefully come to an agreement, and he gave Lot the choice, and Lot took the choice. So now, here we are, chapter 13, and we're on verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thy own eyes, look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then he shall see thy seed and also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And now we're getting into chapter 14, and you're going to start to see what's going to happen because of Sodom. So we're going to start to see the actions, and we're seeing what man has done. Somehow or another, the tree of knowledge of good and evil has pierced through and created this mess on the earth again. God just flooded the earth. And the serpent is crafty. And, of course, subtle, beguiles you, does everything. And, man, if it wasn't Ham, would we have been in this predicament? It really does. These are the mysteries and stuff, the questions that we ask, because it's so hard to understand everything that is taking place. There's so much going on. We have evil in Sodom and Gomorrah. We have that already. We know that, so much so God has, he's divided the communication. He's broken the lines of communication. That way they don't understand each other in different areas. There's different nations. That's been divided. So, And all of the earth is being replenished by Noah's family. And the Lord said unto Abraham, that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest I will give to thee. So now we're going to go ahead and we're going to get to chapter 14. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, and, oh boy, this word, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with the Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomer. Gomorrah, and Shineba, king of Admar, and Shemabar, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zor. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is in the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer. And the 13th year, they rebelled. In the 14th year came Chedorlaomer, the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims. And Astra, and Kernim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Eams in Shava, and the Kerims, and the Hororites in their mount, Seir, and Elorin, which is in the wilderness, and they returned and came to Emishbet and Kadesh and smote all the country. Boy, this is really hard words. Of the Amalekites and also the Amorites that dwelt in the Hezetamar. And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah. And the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same is Zoar. And they joined battle with them in Vale of Sidon, and with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, with Tidal, king of nations, and with Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, and the four kings with five. And the vale of Shittim was full of slime pits, and the kingdom of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, that they remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, and the Ammonite, brother of Iscol, and the brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them into Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them into Hoban, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the woman also, and the people. So Abram goes, and these kings are all in these wars and everything, and Sodom and Gomorrah fall. And we know this. And of course, Lot is taken, his family is taken, the goods and everything is taken. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him in the valley of Shava, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, and here we go, this huge right here. So now we're verse 18, chapter 14. Abram rescues Lot. And this is after he's returned everything and got the people back and, you know, slaughtered the enemy. And everything is now going to be okay. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. All this is going on. Abraham has to go rescue Lot. They had to divide themselves because of the servants and everything, the handyman servants and everything, watching the cattle and everything. And he said, let there not be a strife amongst us. So we're doing that. And now all of a sudden, after all this mess and all these hard words, which I can't pronunciate at all, okay, here we are. And who is Melchizedek? And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Christ God has put a holy priest right here in front of Abram. The Most High God, priest of the Most High God, verse 18, chapter 14. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from from a thread even to thy shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which his young men have eaten, and the portions of men which went with me, Ashner, Eshcol, and Mamre, and let them take their portion. Melchizedek, there's no genealogy. There's no king of Salem where, and yet here he is, the high priest, given that high priest from God. And Abram gives him a tenth of the tithes. That's what he does. And of course, now the king of Sodom is saying, hey, listen, you know, let me, you know, do something for you. No, I don't want anything. Just some food. Let them take their portions, but I don't want anything. After these things, in the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless in the steward of my house? Is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And Abraham wants a child. You know, he wants a child. It's hard for him. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So God is telling him right here now that, hey, wait, listen, you're going to have an heir, numerous, as many as the stars. So here we go. These are the people, you know, that are going to happen. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. And the Lord, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said to him, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he said unto him, all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abraham, know of the surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also a nation whom shall they shall serve, I will judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Whoa, now, here we go. We're talking about Moses. And we're talking about the Hebrews who were enslaved, the Israelites who were enslaved to Egypt. So Abraham's seeing all these things. He's understanding it. And you can see all the way down the line, it's so prophetic, and then everything is coming true. Again, reproving the Bible all along the way. And we're going back and forth, even from getting in deeper into Genesis to beginning of Genesis. They knew that they were naked. So, you know, and now we can start to see that. Ham knew that Noah was naked. And boom, we have the evil, and here we are dealing with all this again. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall call hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp had passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed I have given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kizzites and the Cadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Gershagites, Girgashites, and the Jebusites. A carnal plan for the children, chapter 16. But you are starting to see what is happening here. God is in full control. God knows, he's already said, I'm not going to restrain what they're, you know, anything that they've imagined. I'm just going to break up their nations. I'm going to break up their communication. Abram has now met Melchizedek, who is just taken. He's gone. That's all you heard. That's it. Taken from God. He is the most high priest at that time, taken right away. Okay, so when we go down the line, and we're going to see this as we go down, in the order of Melchizedek, high priest in the order of Melchizedek, well, there he is. So the king of Salem. And that's all you heard about it. No genealogy, nothing. God placed him there. God took him. That's it. Enoch was taken. He's now the second one, just taken, gone. Chapter 16, a carnal plan for the children. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto thy maid, that it may be I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram, and had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her husband to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and she saw that she had conceived. Her mistress was despised in her eyes. Hard thing. Now we're seeing she actually kind of did this to herself. We're seeing that. she didn't quite have that faith at that time in God. God has already told Abram, hey, listen, you have children and everyone is going to have this land. It's going to be numerous as the dust, if you could count the dust. Hey, you know, this is going to happen. But Sarai went to Hagar. And of course she despised her because she could have children and she couldn't. She was barren at that time. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into my bosom. And when she saw she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judged between me and thee. So Hagar is also, here's that rivalry that we're talking again. You know, we've had sibling rivalries and everything else. Now we're seeing it in different ways with Hagar and with Sarai. And Sarai and Hagar, you could see the despise there because, okay, he's the father of my child. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And Sarai dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, and by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? And where will thy go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said, unto her I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, I also looked after him that seeth me. Wherefore, the well that was called, Bethuel, behold, is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called his son, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So now we're moving on. Now we're going to start to talk about, now Abram has a son, and of course, we're thinking heir right here. But we know that this isn't going to happen. And we know that, again, a parting of ways is going to come to fruition here because of Sarai and because of Hagar and the child. And the angel has come down and given Hagar instruction. Go back, submit yourself. This is not the only child that you will have. An abundance is what you will have. But here we are at this point. The institution of the covenant. Now we're going to start to get into circumcision, chapter 17. And I think that we're going to stop there. I did a terrible job at pronouncing the names. I'm so sorry about that, guys. It's one of those things. It's very hard when you have dyslexia. If I hear the name, then I'm good. And I can go on, but I do the best that I can because, you know what, I'm not perfect. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. I'm not clergy. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a priest. I'm nobody. I'm just a guy that loves to read the Bible because I love the story in the Bible and I love everything that's going on. It's just the greatest true love story of all time and how God still is right there for us and will be throughout the Bible. That's the greatest part about it. You know, we ask ourselves every day, and I always say this every day, Are we having a relationship with God on His terms, or are we having it on our terms? We're trying our best to have it on His terms, but the truth is we really can't have it on His terms. We're not good enough. You understand? We're not good enough. We are inherently evil. We see this all the way through the Bible. But that's what we're supposed to be doing, is having a relationship with Christ God on His terms. We have to keep striving for that, to try to improve that relationship. It's extremely hard. I have to pray to the Lord to try to give me wisdom so I can understand the names and the different things, because truly I don't, and I haven't had any teaching in it. But I love everything that's going on. It's easy to follow. And it's easy to understand, and it's easy to just have fun with, to read, enjoy, and bring peace about. So that's one of the great things. But we're going to be on chapter 17, page 25, Genesis 17 and Genesis 18. And we're going to start to see some things happening. This is the cool part. Melchizedek is awesome. I mean, think about it. Out of nowhere. And again, this is not to be disputed, because we already know. And here we are, chapter 14. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. God's priest. The Most High God, you know, that is just, you know, he was the priest of the Most High God. So God is very much in control, knowing everything that's going on. He's already been prophetic. He's already telling us, hey, listen, there's going to be 400 years here of slavery and different things going on. We know that. So look at all the different things that are in the background. Look at all the kingdoms that are fighting. Look at all Sodom and Gomorrah and everything that's going on there, the things going on with Lot, the things going on with Sarai and Hagar. We have so many things going on. Different rivalries in the families, different, you know, kingdoms, different. And now we have a high priest that has entered in. I mean, there's so much going on, and we're trying to decipher and cut through everything to get an understanding. And it goes back to what I've always said. A lot of people question the Bible, and they question the truth of the Bible. But the Bible, understand, as God, I believe, is overseeing, rightfully so. The focus of the Bible, you could talk about books left out or books that should have been in it, or vice versa. You could talk about all the other books that are out there, these crazy books and stuff like that. The whole purpose of it is for us to get to know God, number one, and then for us to get to know His Son, Christ, who He sent here for us to save us, but not in the way that you think. He didn't come here to defeat the Romans. He didn't come here to defeat any armies or anything else. No, he came here and served, and he came here to defeat sin and death. So it's going to be an amazing trip all the way through the entire Bible. We're going to have just a blast doing it. And, you know, this is just the very beginning, and man has already been wiped out, all the beasts and everything else. And what did we find out? We found out that God is not just taking care of man. No, it's the animals and the earth. And man, understand that the earth is a living organism. It is alive. It is God's. Okay. Might have a prince of darkness here, no question. But is he on the same level as God? No way. God created him. You can't be on the same level. So Christ is above him. The angels, we know, are stronger than he is. So, you know, Michael, and we're going to know that later on too. So here we go. Chapter 17 this next week. I want you to have a great week. Okay. There's a great Bible app called YouVersion, and you can get on there and do some plans. It's got plans for anxiety, stress, sorrow, hurt, love, faith, when you're having doubt in faith and everything else, get some great plans and everything. It's you version. I do it every day, every single day. I do it and I love to do it. And there's been a couple of times I've missed, but I do it every day. I make sure that I get caught right back on up because I think it's an important part of life. And the older that we get, especially if we go through sickness and everything else, we have to keep going forward. And we have to remember this. As much as we want to have that relationship with God on His terms, with Christ God, here's something that we need to do. We have to have a relationship. Even if it's sketchy at first, the bottom line is we have to communicate with God. We have to trust Him, love Him, have faith in Him, believe in Him. That's really, this is where life begins. This is the most important part. You let God, you let the Holy Spirit into your life. Guess what? It's day one. Life is beginning. Give Him that chance. God bless you. Have a safe, happy, and you know, I pray just a peaceful week. Thank you for tuning into Life Walk with Christ God. And hey, Stu Scheer is coming up next with Money and Change at 7 o'clock. Don't forget to tune into that. And we have just some great shows on Trim Radio Network. Love to have you on there. Again, I apologize for the names. I promise to try to get better on them and pronounce them a lot better. But that's not the most important part. Anyway, I love you. God bless. Take care. And let's see what we got here.